In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the James.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and an extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because It was for us, and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment. We'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. And I'm with my partners,
Big Jay.
Yeah.
And you know, America for the longest time has been infatuated with gangsterism. Whether from Crips, Bloods, to the Italian Mafia. And today we have one, you can almost say the face of the Mafia.
Right.
Sammy the Bull. How's it going, Sammy?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
The pleasure is all ours. I'm going to start off the top and just get it out the way.
We want to say the epitome of gangster.
Oh, yeah.
You feel me?
The epitome of gangsterism.
Yeah, definitely.
And to have you and James in the same room is, you know, I think you guys have
a lot of not amount up to this man right here.
No, listen.
To put you in the comparison tag.
No Kobe and Jordan here.
No comparison.
I will not accept that.
No, listen to what I'm saying, bro. Y'all personalities are a lot alike.
Okay.
You know, from, you know, me looking at them, you know, some of the way you were raised and came up, some of the principles you have, you guys share a lot of the same ideology.
We do. I'm a little better looking than him, but.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
You know, I'm going to get this question out the way because I felt your pain when you heard the tapes from John Gotti. What was going through your mind when you heard him on the wiretaps?
Well, first of all, anybody could get caught on a wiretap. Mm. So it didn't bother me too much. It was stupid. He talked about things we did years ago. When you get away with a crime, you don't go bullshitting about it years later. But he did, and he got caught. That didn't bother me too much. There was a lot of lies on those tapes, and that bothered me a little bit. I didn't understand why. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of complaining about me. But towards the end, what he did is he met with the lawyers. The tapes were so bad, all the lawyers, the biggest lawyers in New York, said, you can't beat this case. The tapes are plain as day. You're dead. Look to take a plea, look to do something. So he devised an idea of what to do. Is that he was going to use the tapes, control the lawyers, to tell the jurors, you could hear the tapes. John Gotti's complaining against about this animal. It's him killing everybody, taking over, doing this. John is complaining about him, hoping that the jury would convict me and set him free. So when this idea came up, me and him met, I was in prison with him already, 11 months, waiting for trial. I said, John, is that what you really want to do? The cops, the agents, they're our enemy, but they're doing their job. They got to put the bad guys away. We're the bad guys. That's their job. Me and you are tight. We're brothers. We're friends. You're backing them up. To me, that's a rat move. So I told him, you really want to do that? And he told me, Sammy, you got to take the weight. It falls like that. It looks like that. I'm the boss. And the boss has got to be free. You sure you want to do this? Yeah. And I got in touch with the government. I flipped sides and went my own way. Basically, that's what happened. I've been arrested all my life. Murders, double murders. Some I committed, some I didn't commit. Never flipped. And they always asked me that. I hated that. But that, I was so close. It was like my brother, my closest person to me, just threw me to the dogs. I wouldn't let it happen.
So when he tried to pretty much force you or get you to take the whole rap and he get away with it.
The scapegoat.
So that made you feel like, I'm nothing but a pawn now, you using me. So that make you feel like, okay, what if I flip the strip and say, fuck that, I ain't taking the rap for that.
Great point. Because I'm not on the tapes talking. He's on the tapes talking. So if you want me to flip the script, I would say that easily. Brother, you're on the fucking tape. You're caught talking.
Right.
You want me to take the fucking weight? You should be telling me, Sammy, you're not even on these tapes. You could beat this fucking case. We'll get a separation, separate trials. Mm-hmm. You can beat the case. You ain't on them fucking tapes talking about it. And I am. So you should take the weight. If it was me, I would take the weight. I'm on the tape. I'm doing the talking. I'm the one that created this indictment. I'm going to cut you loose. You loose. If
so
I can.
Where's the loyalty at?
It's like they're the enemy, not us. Whoever wins, wins amongst us. Right. We got to fight for each other. Right. If I can cut you loose off to the case, I'll cut you loose. Not that I'm going to help the government convict you so I can get out. I think that self-explains everything.
It does.
Then some people say it's full of shit. But there's so many documents, so many people who flipped after this, and it's documented. It's history now. It's documented history. So, you know, that's the thing with John Gotti. Now, do I hate him? People say this, that, and the other thing. If he was out now, I would like to kill him. I'll shoot him right in the fucking head. But I don't hate him. We were attached at the hip. I feel sorry how he died, like a dog in prison. Mm. We played chess. He was playing checkers and I played chess. I checkmated him. He made the wrong fucking moves. I was never pinched all my life. My rap sheet is as long as anybody's. And they always ask me, Sammy, you get no time. I give you an example. I cooperated. I've been for the last years 10 different cases, I've been a witness for the defense against the government to get people out. What guy cooperates and does that?
Right.
One. Two, they got to hate me for that. So when I got in trouble in Arizona with an ecstasy case, taking over Arizona ecstasy, they smashed me. I lent them money to buy ecstasy, and I got 20 fucking years. It was payback for the government. Ah, we got him. And I got slammed. Even in that case, they asked me to testify against the other people. I said, no, absolutely not. I don't want to use the language I did use, but I said no.
This against the Chronicles. Use it. You can use it. Yeah. That's what the people love.
Right. So that's the way it is. That's what happened with John Gotti, stuff like that. So we ain't supposed to have no heavy shit. But no, go ahead, bro. But I know Norm ain't gonna ask me no bad questions because he knows I got a gun under the table.
No, for sure. I know he already told me. He already told me big motherfuckers like me get smoked, so I'm asking you.
Hey, look, your hands on the motherfucking
table. I told him when I pulled in the parking lot. I said, now let's send me the bull now. Should I take my gun out the trunk? Because before I saw him, I thought he was this big guy. And then when I see him talking to you, I'm like, oh, no, I can leave my gun. I don't need my gun.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is with Sammy, like he was just saying, explaining that you guys are so much identical from the upbringing standpoint. And, you know, something's real interesting. I was having this thought the other night. I said, you know, a few twists in your youth you may have turned out to be one of the biggest Fortune 500 leaders in this country. You know what I mean? Who's to say that you wouldn't have been the next, you know, Bill Gates or, you know, big captain of industry or whatever. And you grew up in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, right?
Right.
How was your youth coming up?
Well, what really started me off that wrong path is I'm dyslexic. So I have a, back then, when I was a kid, it's a lot of years ago, they didn't even know what that was. They just thought you were fucking stupid and that's it. And they didn't waste any time on you. So I'm growing up, the most I got was an eighth grade education. And I was not, quit school, they threw me out. They made my parents come in. If you don't sign him out, he's going to, you know, this bullshit jail for youths. So that started me off. I was in a gang. And in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, it was swamped with mafia dudes. And they were my idol. Looking up at them, they were the man. And I grew that way. When I was 19, I got drafted into the military during the Vietnam War. I was trained to kill. I never went to Vietnam. You needed a certain amount of time. When my name came up, I only had 8 months left. They said, no, you have to have a year. And I never went. I came out, I hooked up with a gang right away. I was 21.
What gang was that?
The Rampers.
The Rampers, yeah. Okay.
And what was gang life like?
Gang life was a bunch of stupid kids. Mm. Stealing cars, doing this, doing that, fights, all kinds of shit. It wasn't that vicious of a gang. We fought, we kick ass. We didn't kill nobody, but we didn't shoot people. But it was as tough as it could be. So I got out of the Army at 21 years old, and I was back in the gang. At 23 years old, you couldn't do nothing in my neighborhood. If you weren't connected, 3, 4, 5 guys would come to your bro. You opening that club? Fuck no, I got a piece. So you couldn't belong. Mm-hmm. So at 23 years old, I hooked up with the Colombo family as an associate. I liked the guy, Shorty Spiro, tough guy, ex-fighter. And I liked what he said. I'm never going to lie to you. I'm never going to backstab. Whatever I ask you to do, I have already done, and I'll do it with you. So it wasn't somebody giving orders. It was music to my fucking ears. You're going to belong to a family. Music to my ears. I had a good mother, father, legitimate people. I'm far from stupid. When I was in the mafia, it's common knowledge. I owned 6 construction companies. I mean, I had the power of the mafia. I used the unions. I did all kinds of things. Black guy just asked me about our relationship with black people. In the movies, they portray it one way. The reality is, me and the people around me and the people I knew were like this. They dealt numbers on a small end. We dealt numbers in a bigger end. We were the bank. So when they went to, you know, get rid of they have too much work or too much money on a number, they would give it to our bank. There was drug dealing with blacks. We did everything with them. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a quick story. Toto, my captain, and I wasn't made yet. I was still just a tough kid with the Gambino family. I was switched from the Columbos to the Gambino. Mm-hmm. He said, there's a small little church down the block. Where the black people go? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The kids are breaking balls over there. Go over there, read these kids the riot act. Leave them alone, they're good people. And I went down, I talked to the kids. The reverend or a priest, whatever he was, gets in touch with me. Sammy, thank you so much. I heard what you did and this and that, the other thing. And he invited me to go to church with him. I never went into a black church. But he was a nice guy. I said, let me go in. I went in. I went there that day. They had, you know, a mass. It's like everybody else. And it was cool. And I left and I was shaking his hand goodbye. And he said, if you'd like to make a donation, we got a football team. They're all black. Back then, it was separate. Uh-huh. If you'd like to make a donation, I had just previously made a score. I had a pocket full of money. I said, yeah, I'll make a donation. I said, what are you going to buy with it? He says, football gear. They don't have outfits. They don't have this. They don't have that. How much does it cost for the whole thing? to buy all of them uniforms and stuff. He gave me a number. It wasn't all that much. It was a number, but back then it wasn't a big number. What it would mean now. I gave it to him. And Tato taught me the difference in caring about people and what they're like and what they do. It must have been a week after that. I'm on the corner with my friends. A car pulls up. Four, five, six big black guys got out. Hey, Sammy. I got ready. I don't know what the fuck that was. They came over. And this guy says, you took care of our uniforms. The chaplain told me. Yeah, I mean, you didn't make a donation. We all got new uniforms and we could play. Anybody ever fucks with you, need somebody, give me a call. Okay, I shook his hand and went away. But that's, well, growing up to us, it wasn't like the movie. They were part of us in a neighborhood. Now, of course, there was some racism here and there and people thought a certain way, but that's everything. When Italians came here, they didn't like Italians. Some people don't like Italians. Some people don't like blacks. Some people don't like Jews. Some people don't like something. That exists.
Right.
The biggest racism I ever saw in my life is when I went into the military. I knew about it in New York, you know, this and that, all that bullshit. But when I went in, the first place I went was to Fort Jackson, South Carolina in 1964.
Oh, man.
I seen racism like I never seen in my fucking life. And I even told a story. I did a video about it. There was a guy from the Bronx. He was a black guy. And we had KP duty. So we're online and we're serving these big, long spoons. Fucking hillbillies came. Well, I hear him telling the black guy, hey, boy, do this. Hey, boy. I knew that would bother him. So I look. Didn't seem to bother him at all. They came to me. And the guy put out a tray. And I would say, serving beans or something, and I'm putting it in this thing, it's dripping over. And I stop. Hey, boy, when I tell you to stop, that's when you stop. It's calling me boy now. And he throws all the fucking food on the counter. And I whack him right in the fucking head. Dumb kid, the guy behind him is his friend. He hits me, they had metal trays. Almost knocked me over. Black guy jumped right the fuck over, started throwing blows. I get my senses, I jump over. Me and him are fucking frightened, have to join. We're on the MP's car, we're sitting on the floor. And big guy comes in, big black guy, big heavy set black guy. You like helping black people, boy? Now, I wasn't stupid. He thought I was helping the black guy. It wasn't that way at all. The black guy was helping me. Mm-hmm. So I took advantage of that. So I said, yeah, well, when we from New York, we think a little different. And he winked at me. So I got away. The black guy said, hey, sir, you use that situation. Pretty fucking good. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, you see these mafia movies and stuff. And it's really not that way. Not in my neighborhood, not in my lifetime. We had good relationships with them. I did time with Fat Cat Nichols. I talked about him in a video. A sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah, that's a big time gangster.
A big time gangster.
Definitely. And, definitely.
You know,
my question is, what was the transition that you went, like you said, you was part of the Colombo family, then you went to the Gambino family. Why was the transition?
The transition is, they started using me more and more. The boss of this crew, a captain, Carmine Persico, sent it for me all the time. Shorty's brother, Ralph, had a son. And he gets into an argument with his brother, Shorty. Why the fuck you keep taking Sammy there? I want my son to go there, so if they open the books and he gets made, I want my son, not him. And Shorty said, listen, I ain't bringing him there. He's asking for him. And he's doing whatever the fuck he's told. So, how to shut me down? How to stop this rising star? He makes up this fucking bullshit story about a guy who was with us who got killed, bumped into his wife in a place, but I was with 7-8 guys a week or two after he was killed in a bank heist. And I saw it there with a guy. And it annoyed the shit out of me. I abused him a little bit. And he brought it back that I abused her and hit her because I wanted to have sex with her and she wouldn't go. He twisted the story. But he didn't realize when he twisted the story that there was 5, 6, 7 guys there in the boat with me when it happened. So when I went home, I was married already. He called up my wife and said, your husband is dead. He tried to bang Ralphie Runge's wife. Mm. So when I got home, I said, this wife is very technical. Tell me exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said. I got a gun and I went to his house. I was going to kill him right at the doorway. But he wasn't home, and when I turned around to go back to my car, I had a gun behind me, by my ass. She saw it, and she told him. So they knew I went there to kill him. When I was called in, they talked to me and they said, Sammy, what were you going to do? I told them the story the best I could, and I said I was going to kill him for what he did. They gave me right, actually. Bosses gave me right. They said, what he did, you did the right fucking thing, but not in his house in front of his wife. I said, I was wrong in that area, but I was gonna kill him. So they said, he's Shorty's brother. We're not gonna allow this. We know we can't keep this together. So there's people talking for you from the Gambino family, the bosses up on top. Their decision was switching. Take him from the Colombo family into the Gambino family. And that's how I wound up with this old man, Toto, captain. And the man was, to me, he actually looked like my father. He was as short as my father, and he was a sweetheart. And to me, he was my father.
It sounded like he was well respected. That don't bother you, like, loyalty is supposed to be everything. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think, listening to you and the way I live my life, I believe loyalty is everything. You'll go far with loyalty. But then you have people that hate or resent what you're doing and how other people perceive you. So now they start to hate you. I got this a lot, but did you ever feel like they wanted you out because of who you was and the things that you did? And not only did they want to be where you was at, but and you was in the way pretty much of them climbing the ladder.
Yeah, absolutely.
So did you feel like that there was no loyalty with these people and now I got to be a different way?
I didn't feel that with everybody. I felt it with certain people. When you betray me, I'll betray you. I'll fucking kill you. I will do anything to come at you. But if you show me loyalty, and there was a lot of loyal, I don't want to put people down, there was a right. ton of loyal people, and I always showed respect and loyalty.
Right.
Everything I've done in my life, that's how I've gotten respect. When I started doing the social media stuff, when I got out of prison 4 years ago, I said, everybody's going to break my ass for fucking remarks and bullshit. That happens a little bit.
Right.
Everybody in their mother, I got a 99.2% positive rating, one. And people from New York, I won't mention names because I don't want to put people in trouble.
Right.
Get in touch with me. Italian guys, mafia guys, who are still mafia guys, black guys, Hispanic guys, guys I did time in prison. I mean, so I feel there's people getting in touch with me who I was friends with 40, 50 years ago. How bad of a guy could you have been? If guys 40 years ago called right. you up, now they know the whole story, and they say, Sammy, how you feeling? How you doing? I'm watching your videos. I'm watching your stuff. Come down. I did a couple of interviews with, what the hell is his name? Fat Scoop.
Fat Man Scoop.
Yeah, Fat Man Scoop.
Yeah, that's
my people. I did that, and I was asked to do that. I did it with Pistol Pete, mm-hmm. you know. And every time I was asked to help, I helped. That's what I do. But if you come at me sideways, bro, I tell guys in prison, I'm not a big guy, I'm a small guy physically. I'll fight like a bastard, but I'm small. But I tell guys in prison when I got into big arguments with a guy real big, I'm telling him, well, kill me, motherfucker, because I'm telling you what I'll do. I'm not taking this fucking beat. I'll come back tonight when you're sleeping. I'll stick a fucking shank in your fucking throat. I guarantee you. And that's my philosophy.
Right.
I treat people good. I respect people. We talk about black people. My granddaughter's biracial. You saw my daughter on shows. She ran with a black guy. I didn't say, hey, fuck you, get out. I welcomed him, a guy named Dave. He's pretty well known black guy. So I don't do anything with any of that bullshit. I'm not against people. I tell people, you know, a lot of people say, well, start talking to kids. I'm not going to tell the kids. I'm not going to tell them what to do. Here's what I'm going to tell them, bro. You want to make money? You want to go steal? You want to do some drugs? Bro, here's what I did. I did 22 years in fucking prisons. I was shot twice, two different fucking times. So you're going to wind up dead or in prison. So enjoy yourself. Do what the fuck you want. But my advice is there's a lot of easy money to make money. What we're doing right now in this room, there's guys with cameras, who's editing, he's known as a powerful name from what I hear. You guys are all respected. There's a way to do it. Fuck going to prison.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah, fuck going to prison. And you know, one of the biggest things I see, I always, like I told you, you and James remind me of a lot of likes looking at your stories. Y'all both came up young in situations to where it looked like y'all was kind of misunderstood and wasn't nobody helping you guys. Like you mentioned the dyslexia, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had to whoop a few teachers' asses coming up, right?
Well, there was one teacher, he was the principal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were playing hooky and these cops caught us. They brought us into the school. I was still a little drunk. And the guy, the principal, was talking to the other teachers and, you know, that's how these people are. See how they are? These greaseballs. Now that's like using the M-word to a black guy, greaseball.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bother me at all because like rappers use the M-word,
yeah.
Italians use that word. It don't bother me, greaseball, this, that, the other thing. So I listened to him. Then he's talking and I said, listen, bro, hey, shut up. And then he continues talking. And he says, see, they it's their upbringing. These greaseballs. Now, when he said it that way, I took it that he's talking about my mother and father, legitimate people. He's putting them down now for their nationality or race, whatever you want to call it. And I got up. I said, let me ask you a question. And I just whacked him. Fucking shot. And I broke his fucking jaw, and I got thrown out, and I put him to 600 school. So I just went through a rough life. When I was dealing with construction, I used to work in the hood all the time. The housing projects, we would do, you know, they would get contracts and I would go in and do the jobs and work in those neighborhoods. And I would work with black contractors. You know, they had I was working with a Jewish contractor and he had trouble in the neighborhood because while they're building it, they got a gate around the building. But at night, the black people go in and rob them of money.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what do I do, Sammy? There's nothing here. What are you going to do? Go there at night. You want to stop it? You want me to stop it? Yeah. How are you going to stop it? I'll show you. I went there. It was a black guy. I can't think of his name. It's Abul, a weird name. And I grabbed him. I said, bro, you're the guy. You're the man in the neighborhood, right? Yeah. Who are you? My name is Sammy. Sammy the Bull. What you're doing is crazy, bro. This is your neighborhood. I'll let this contractor pay you for security, legitimately. Put your friends around, let the neighborhood know this is your job. Hire somebody, and I'll get you the contract. You'll do that? Yeah. But I'm not doing it just for you. That's gonna make me strong with the contractor. I'm gonna be honest with you. If I could stop you, and I could help him with unions, and now I could help him with this minority groups in these neighborhoods, that's making me stronger. But you got guys who know how to paint, right? Yeah, of course. Then I get you security and painting contracts. Open up a business and I'll help you. So I went back and I talked to the guy. He says, we got somebody who has guard dogs. Good. Try that first. I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. They're gonna beat up the guard. They're gonna eat the dog, and they're gonna rob your fucking job blind. So you could do it my way, or you could do it your way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
How much is this gonna cost me? It's gonna cost whatever the fuck a normal contract is for security, a normal contract for paint, and they can do those things. Mm-hmm. I stand behind them. They'll do it, and nobody will touch your job no more. I want a little extra for that guy. All right, Sammy. I could put it on your contract and you paid him? Yeah. And I don't know how many jobs I worked with him. For union, a job was in a spot and I was having problems, even the union pressure couldn't get this guy to budge, mm-hmm. I would get in touch with him. Do me a favor, get a busload of those guys with the bandanas and the knives and go down to the job and create a problem. And we worked making money that way.
Right.
There's all kinds of ways to make money legitimate. Shooting each other, killing each other. I look at this thing in Chicago. It nauseates me.
Mm. It nauseates me. Killing over
there. Listening
to Chicka Bobby and singing, brother, brother, too much of us. I mean, this you're killing each other, bro.
People seeing Sammy and when they hear your name, they, you know, automatically think of this monster. But sitting there listening to you, you helped a lot of people, even with being Sammy the Bull, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, where's the bad guy at? I want to talk to the bad Sammy. Well, all right. Come on, let's get gangsta.
Call me a motherfucker. It's call me a call me a Greek boy. I don't know.
What did you say? My thing is, but when you say that that was the way that y'all had it back then, was like the power of the respect and the mouthpiece to negotiate was better than the power of the pistol for the way?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, when you got certain powers and you use your head, look what Norm is doing, bro. I mean, I don't know behold the wall, but I'm hearing about him.
Right.
All over the place.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here. And you guys. But if you use your head, I'm talking to these kids, not you personally, but if you use your head and you do things, you can make money. Listen, people love people who got balls and brains together. They'll love you even more. People fear you because you're nasty and you've got balls and you're using it in a fucked up way.
Right.
But if you use your balls and brains in a positive way, they will not only still fear you, but they'll love you. The hardest combination to get is when a guy loves, fears, and respects you. It's a hard combination. I met with Mark Wahlberg. I met with him. I said, Mark, and he's the greatest guy. I really liked Mark Wahlberg a lot. I said, how the fuck do you do this? What? Every time I go to a doctor, nurse, oh, you know Mark Wahlberg? I say, every woman in the country wants to bang you. And every guy wants to beat you.
Right.
How do you get those two groups to love you at the same time?
Right.
And he's a perfect example. He was a bad boy growing up. I hope I don't get in trouble with Mark. But he was a bad boy growing up. Then he rapped. Then he did something else. Then he did movies. Rest is history. And he's a great guy.
Right.
So you can use those things. Norm's example. Your example, the people in this room. I mean, I get some of these people in Hollywood, I don't get a reception like this.
Right.
I mean, and they're white. I don't get that. You know, he's an uneducated thug.
Right.
You know, you guys are doing the right thing. I hope your show takes off and it goes triple what it is.
Right.
If that's possible, well, because it's really going.
Me, for one, I mean, I'm like, wow, listening to you, because I grew up just like that. I thought being the bad guy was the right way.
Right.
Now that I'm older, I see being a good guy, I get more out of being honest about myself and about the way I live, and I'm reaping the benefits from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, being humble ain't nothing wrong with it.
No.
It don't make you a weenie, it don't make you this punk. And man, your life inspires mine, because I'm listening to you and I'm like, damn, that's what I did. Like,
I used to tell the guys in the motorcycle club, I ain't gonna do nothing that I ain't gonna ask you to do nothing that I haven't done. You know, I'm the boss, I'm taking off first. You know what I'm saying? If I don't fight, we don't have to. So I'm listening to you and it's like, wow. I mean, maybe all of our life is pretty much the same thing because history repeats itself. And wow, your story is...
We ought to see. We have people like Ralph Spiro trying to pull me down to get ahead. I'm like a step ladder. He wants to step on me and get ahead. We have people doing that right now.
Right.
Of course. See society right now.
Oh, don't I know?
I look at society and I see things that are going on, and all of these things trying to make one race against the other. To me, I'm a street thug. I'm a gangster. I see it. It's so clear to me. Maybe to other people, they don't see it. I see it. They want people, black and white people, to hate each other and fight. And everything is racism today. Why? I look at it. Why? Where'd they get that from? I know a gazillion black guys are doing great. Sports people, singers, entertainers, hip hop. Took over the fucking whole music industry. Why are they doing that? Same fucking thing. To have us fight, hold us the fuck down while these liberal elites fucking wind up with all the cash and we're not looking at them because we're busy fighting.
Exactly.
You're busy bickering amongst each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard you mention hip hop a couple of times, and that's the thing. Like I said, gangsterism has influenced the whole world, like, right?
Right.
And H, you being a major rapper, major figure, pioneer now, you know, source in the hip-hop industry, you remember back in the 90s when everybody started naming themselves after Italian mobsters?
Right.
Mobsters, you had a million Gottis around.
Mm-hmm.
You had a million Capones. Yeah. You know what I mean? They were named after these notorious gangsters. How did you guys feel in the Italian mafia living at this rise for all these rappers naming themselves Gotti and all this other stuff?
Well, for me, it didn't bother me. I heard my name in a couple of hip hop songs. I don't follow hip hop too much. When I worked out, I love that beat. To work out, there's no better music to me to work out. I mean, I'm not going to be hip hopping around all over the place, especially at my end. But that beat motivates me when I work out. You know, when I was young, my son and my daughter know these people. Wu-Tang. Mm-hmm. Ever hear of Wu-Tang?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, Wu-Tang knew them. And somebody had come to me, my daughter, son, somebody, and said, you know, you can get involved with them doing what? Hip hop. Music or whatever they were making back then.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were the original almost. I said, no, what a fucking mistake I made. I made $80 trillion. I wanted to kick myself in the ass 400,000 times.
Wow.
But so they were around and they were right from my neighborhood. I believe they were right from Coney Island.
Yeah, yep.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So they were right from Coney Island. That's what I'm saying. So all this bullshit that we didn't get along or of course there was arguments and fights. There always is. But it wasn't that racial. We're gonna go get black people like they're making it now. That didn't happen. Not to me.
You know, because the Italian mob was heavily involved in the music industry back then, correct?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
To what extent, how much control do you think that they had?
They had tremendous control. They had these music stations, what the hell was his name? Something Freed or something. And they could get your record played on their music station. You know, so they had connects all over the place.
So you guys control radio and the record industry. I think in a lot of ways, it probably still is about a control because those contracts, they're giving these keys.
It's always been like that as far as the music is business is concerned. You know, we didn't control a lot of stuff back in the days as far as the record business, publishing and royalties and all that stuff. So you heard me speak on that a lot about what was owned as far as masters and who would do whatever. You could do a record deal and only get 2% of the record and you did everything. I mean, that was just the times it was in. And today it's still going on like that. You see people getting into these 360 deals where I'll advance you a little money, but I'm going to take 95% ownership, you know, so.
Right.
I don't think nothing has changed to this day.
It's different hands. Yeah, but that's always the way.
James said, no way.
Yeah, you know. You know what? And I keep saying that you guys are kindred spirits because I'm listening to your story. I'm like, that sounds like some shit James would say.
Exactly.
You know, that sounds like some stuff he would say. And I noticed you said one of your things, you go everywhere. You always had your gun with you, right?
The first time out, yeah, I did. I always had it. The first time out. Not anymore. The times have changed. When I got out in 95, the early part of 96, yeah, I was healed all the time, because the times were different. They were going to come. I knew they were going to come, but I was ready.
Right.
And I was just going to, you know, we'll end it in the street. We'll do it. But now the times are completely different. You know, a lot of guys say, they don't kill people no more. They don't do a lot of things. So what happens? And now I know a lot of cops and FBI agents. I knew them. I actually became friends with them. Some of them are good guys. Some of them are not. But what they said is that when you don't commit vicious crimes, their squads that are working on you and your gang and whoever it may be, they go down. They focus on the worst of the worst. So M13, they're killing people like they were confetti for no reason at all. I like your bike, they kill you. Mm-hmm. So the FBI now takes those agents that are working on you, I'm not saying you personally, but you, and they put them on them. So go ahead, go kill them for
basically,
a while.
Sammy, yourself. Yeah, basically Sammy ain't a threat no more. Let's spend this energy, this money on him because they're doing the violent crimes.
Right.
So let's focus on them.
Right. So you're smart in a way. The mafia is backed away from, you don't see like it. When I was younger and even before I went away, it was like the Jesse James days. There was fucking bodies everywhere, every time you turn around. So when you stop that, you're not going to take that kind of heat. And then you're not going to get, through the years, the sentences, you're going to get life without parole, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. You're finished.
You don't miss it, don't you? Don't miss that vibe, that energy that you used to
get. I still got it. I'm a gangster right now. I'm a fucking gangster.
Exactly.
But I got my family, my friends, people who are loyal to me, people I deal with, people I like. I'm cool. If I don't like you, instead of hurting you, I get the fuck away from you. I don't want to bother with you. Simple as that. And I'm not going back to prison. I'm not going to go back to prison because this guy's a fucking asshole.
Exactly.
And I got to hurt him.
Better to just say fuck him.
Fuck him.
I said that about Texas. Why go to prison for
some jerk?
Ain't worth it.
Right. Yeah, better just say fuck him, motherfuckers. You don't have to fuck with him. I don't got to fuck with you and you ain't got to fuck with me.
Right.
I can just leave
unless he just comes to this place to fight, then you got to do what you have to do.
But I that's the biggest thing. You know, you ain't spoke nothing but the truth today, because with success, it brings a certain amount of envy and jealousy.
Yes.
We've all had those little attacks from motherfuckers we don't even know. They say shit about him. He just made up felonious shit.
You're right.
You know, just I'm talking about flat out liars. They go in there and say, oh, and we in this internet age where motherfuckers will believe anything that's on the laptop. If I went in there and said, I am from Mars and I am going to destroy this planet in the next 24 hours, if all y'all don't send me a dollar, I guarantee you, if I get a broad enough message on that, this will be a whole bunch of motherfuckers sending me money and believe me.
Well, if you do that, I'm in. Give me a
show.
Hey, man, what we have here is Sammy DeVille, and then you have other people. You have gangsters by nature that was born to be what Sammy is.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you have guys that sat around a table and listen to those stories and make themselves believe that they're gangsters. Those are what you call the watered down cats. You know what I'm saying?
They're not even that, bro.
But
the truth is, they're sitting there, cunts. They're sitting in the basement with little things. He's the jerk off, or he comes up with something like, he's a punk bitch. Sitting
right.
In the thing. He ain't never going to even come to your face and say that.
Right.
He's never going to come to mine. As old as I am, he ain't going to do it. There's a bitch sitting in the thing. Disregard him.
Right.
And the people out there, it happens on this, like he said, on this YouTube and all these channels. It's happening because people want to put him down. That should make you want to listen to him more.
Right.
Because some jerk off is saying something. For hundreds of thousands of people saying he's a jerk off, then maybe he is. But one of these little termites sitting in their mommy's fucking basement hitting fucking computer shits, they don't listen to this guy.
Right.
Yeah, sure, I gotta ask this question, Sammy. I'm pretty sure because, you know, the fans won't know. And hopefully, you know, we can break some news today. You mentioned that you were heavily involved with the unions, right?
Yeah.
Where the fuck is Jimmy Hoffa?
I was gonna ask that question, but I said,
I've been hearing about this guy since I was a kid. And I'm like, they haven't found out where this guy's actually. Like, is he around? Did he fuck up somehow? Like, is he missing for a reason?
I like that.
He's gone. He's missing for a reason. You know, I'll tell you that real quick. Jimmy Hoffa. Jimmy Hoffa was a good guy. He was in the unions. He controlled the unions, and he was with the mafia. He had problems with the Kennedys and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
They took it away from him. They put him away. Now, you can't control it. He's a convicted felon. The mafia put somebody else in, put him down while he was in prison. When he came out, they called him. Jimmy, you always work with us, you're a good guy. There's nobody who knows that union better than you. So what we're going to do, we're going to leave this guy there because he's really working good with us. But you're going to watch over him. You're going to be the guy from him to you to us. And you're going to get a piece of the pie. Jimmy said, fuck no.
Mm.
That's mine. That's mine. Now, you can't do that. He was told, this isn't a candy store. This ain't yours. This is a fucking union. This is ours. We'll tell you what the fuck.
Right.
He said no. Saying no got him to death penalty. And God knows where he went, but he's gone.
He's gone. He ain't black.
He ain't
black.
He
he ain't relaxing, sipping pina coladas, no.
That was the question that I was asked, because we kind of kept this interview a secret coming up to it, because that's just what we do. We want to make sure everybody, you know, we had everything in the can first. You know, we were really excited. We thank you for coming up here. Another question I have to ask you. These movies, like TV shows like The Sopranos and things like that, how close are those shows to reality?
The Sopranos was really, really well done. There was the Cavalcanti family in New Jersey. It was modeled after that. 10 or 15% true, 85% Hollywood. I'm trying to do a scripted show now. I want to reverse it. 85% true, 10 or 15%, you got to let Hollywood do what they want. That's number one. Number two, I don't know if it's in any contracts or my people spoke to you. When you ask a question about Jimmy Hoffa, you made me answer. You owe me $117.65. You know what? I steal a little bit more.
No. Help yourself. You know, because we watch these shows, like I said, America has been fascinated with gangsters. Anything that you put out with some gangster shit in it, it's going to go from The Sopranos to Menace to Society to all these movies, you know, all these
it's different... It's the lifestyle.
You know, it's the lifestyle. Yeah,
it's the lifestyle of the underworld, you know, just the being able to, you know, articulate and do stuff when you want to do it, your own rules, you know, a crew of a family, you know, boys together, you know. I think that's what fascinates people about the gangster lifestyle. It's a different culture.
Everybody want to be tough.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to be tough, and I got to be tougher than you. Just because you're bigger than me don't mean you can whoop me. So I got to show you that I'm tougher than you.
No, they do.
I mean, because the big dudes come off as the ones that are the bullies
and whatever. Yeah. So
see what I'm saying? So when you see a big dude,
we got to shoot you type of
motherfucker.
Now that seemed like it might have been some real shit involved. That seemed like it was that accurate?
Yeah, it was fairly accurate. It wasn't accurate at all. That was a lot of Hollywood, a lot of bullshit. There's no doubt about it.
Well, we can't wait till you do something so people can see the real way. Because if they saw the real, they'd really be scared of trying to live their life.
No, I mean, listen, it's good to be, we're all gangsters. Mm-hmm. We're about to finish this up. I ain't leaving unless you fucking feed me, so we're going to eat together a little bit.
We got food downstairs.
I took some selfies down there with some of the women. They might be calling me on the street.
That's okay. That's on you.
But there's nothing wrong with being a tough guy. If you know how to handle it and be a good guy, you know what the strongest fucking word is? I'm going to tell you something crazy. A four-letter word. Look.
Right.
The most powerful fucking one. I had a friend of mine who was dying of cancer in tremendous pain the last few days. And I went to see him. And he was smiling. What is smiling about, dog? You're in a lot of pain. Why don't we get this out? No. I'm saying, man, I'm cool. I know he's in tremendous pain. How could you be cool, bro? Let me get you some. No, Sammy. Why are you smiling? All the love I had with my family, my close friends, that's what I'm looking at now. I don't feel no pain.
Right.
I feel love. Well, that blew me the fuck away. That blew me away. Love is a strong thing. I'm going to talk about a black guy. Martin Luther King did so much for black people. Not one gun. Not one knife. Not one punch did he throw. He used common sense. He used love and compassion. And he brought black people from here to here. Wasn't the whole job, but did a lot.
Right.
More love. And like you said, you're a tough guy. People look up to you in the neighborhood when you walk because you're a tough guy. they'll love the shit out of you when you give them opportunities. You call that kid over and you throw a sawbuck in his pocket or something and do me a favor if you can help me with my car and you take it. They'll love you. Yeah, that's a true tough guy.
Right.
You don't have to act like a tough guy. You don't have to fucking do anything crazy. He only has to do that when he has to. But if you do those other things, like I say, look, this guy's a perfect example. As big as he is, he's fucking 6 feet taller than me, I think. Paul almost asked. I ain't afraid of him. He's a fucking, sweetheart.
Right.
I could tell. And I'm good at character. You know, he's a heavyweight. And you're me. You're me. I see it. I feel it. I don't even know you up until today. And whoever that fucking guy was with the camera who beat me in fucking chess, well, I'm going to forget that he beat me in chess. I'm going to let that slide. Of course, I didn't do it again. I tried to cheat him at the end.
I'm going to end it with this. I got this one last question. I'm going to give you a date and a location. December 16th, 1985, Sparks Steakhouse.
Paul Castellano. I planned it, I put it together, I ran it, conducted it. It's on my podcast. You can hear it, the whole story. I got 9 episodes out on season 1. Mm-hmm. Season 2 is out right now. I got 3 episodes out, and I'm talking about my life story. Mm-hmm. Legit.
Let's 100%. Talk about the podcast. What's the name of the podcast?
Our Thing. And going to put it on my link. Is not going to be on the bottom of your page. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll be back, bro.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
For those that don't know, Paul Castellano was the boss that's how John Gotti got into power, because I guess this Paul Castellano guy was banging his maid and just doing a bunch of crazy shit.
I mean, that's, you know, it was a sour thing banging me. But let me tell that real quick. You know, what upset me, or a lot of bastards were banging me, women. You want to bang a woman, go ahead. I don't give a fuck. No, I don't care what you do. Go bang a woman. But not in your fucking house with your maid. And now your maid is telling your wife, now you go do the dishes. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, man. Go. You got a ton of money, a ton of drugs. Go do your thing. So it's just a bad thing. Here, I'm going to tell you one more story before we go. This is an important one. My guy, Taro, used to go to this restaurant, neighborhood restaurant, with his girlfriend, and the Italian guys call his Gumara. Mm-hmm. And once in a while, he'd take his wife there. So one night, he was in that restaurant. Taro was telling me a story. I went in there, and I'm sitting with my Gumara. The door opens up, and Carlo Gambino, boss of all bosses, walks in with 5 guys. You don't say hello, you don't buy him a drink, you don't do nothing. All you do is a little bow your head. Oh, that's it. So it's very secret. So Carlo Gambino sits down. Taro's sitting with his grandma. One of the guys get up, comes over to him. Hey, Taro, how you doing, buddy? Who's this, your girlfriend? I don't remember her name. Rosie. Yes, my girlfriend. Sit over here. Go sit next to in that empty chair. It's next to Carlo Gambino. So Carlo Gambino tells Taro, you come here a lot, don't you? Yeah. With your wife on occasion. Yeah. He says, what do you think these people who work here, what they say? Oh, nothing. They would never say nothing. No, of course they won't. They're afraid. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you leave, behind your back, what do you think they say? Oh, she's so much better looking than your wife. But I don't know. So you love your wife. Yeah. And you don't even speculate what her feelings would be or what people are talking about her behind her back, in your back. Let me ask you another question, Tom. Do you love me? Oh, of course, Carl. Of course I love you. I hope that you don't love me like you love your wife. Now that is, in other words, if you can't show your wife a little respect, and I tell you not to fuck around, a little respect, then how could I trust you to respect and love me?
Right.
So it was something I heard lot of years ago that made a lot of sense. So with that, I close. I'm going to go eat your food and leave.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeart Media Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.